In this episode of the Chrysalis Conversations, I'm joined by the lovely Maria Tan, and we're going to be talking about the power that happens when you start to own your differences and use it to make a difference. Hi, I'm Nikki Collins from Phoenix, business owner, serial goal-getter, adventure seeker, chaser of dreams, humanitarian, and believer that anything is possible. In this podcast, I will bring you conversations around transforming your business and life through strategy, mindset, kindness, compassion, freedom, happiness, and contribution from myself and from many others who have walked their own path of transformation and discovery. Because life is short and life is precious, and in the time you have on this earth, I want to give you the tools so that you too can believe anything is possible, and for you to achieve your own version of success and happiness, both in your work and your life. So are you ready to shine, transform, and live your best life? Then welcome to the Chrysalis Conversations. All right. Hi, everyone, and welcome for joining me on another episode of the Chrysalis Conversations podcast. I am absolutely thrilled today to be joined by our guest, the lovely Maria Tan, who is based over in the Philippines. Thank you so much for joining us today.
You're very welcome. It's a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
No, you're welcome. Now, one of the reasons why I wanted to bring Maria on is she has a really, really inspiring story, and I'm going to let her share the story, so I'm not going to talk about it. But when I read Maria's story, I was like, I absolutely want to get you on the podcast, because the way that she has lived her life and kind of the vibe that she brings is exactly the kind of stuff that I stand for and this kind of thing that I teach people. And I really want you to hear her story. So, you know, Maria, we're talking just before we started recording this about kind of the time when you felt that you'd had a transformation or a discovery or a period of growth, and it was really great because you were kind of like, that's just basically been my whole life. And so I would really, really love for you to share with our listeners kind of your story of how you came to be doing what you're doing now and how you came to be the person that you are right now. Can you share it with us?
First of all, I am originally from the Philippines, but I've lived overseas and am back here, and then COVID hit. But just imagine, everybody in this world know that they are different one way or another. But there's a big gap between knowing you're different and just owning you're different and then being you're different. And I think those are the things that people don't realize. So in my case, since childhood, I know I'm different. At that time, I might not have easily owned it, but it was very hard for me not to be me. And I'll give you an example. In an Asian context, right, elders are always obeyed. Someone who's older than you, someone who's in authority, it's really a taboo, or it's not something that you do to go against someone with authority. And I think it's the same all across the world, but in an Asian, in a collective context, very much so. So just imagine me, I was just very young, 3, 4, 5, 6, every age that I am, I'm just me. So if someone would ask me, I remember this story, and I think every child or everyone listening who has a child can resonate with this. In today's generation, when the kids say, I don't want that, that's quite normal, right? That's applauded. But in the 90s, when you say, I don't want that, that's like, what? What do you mean you don't want that? You should be okay with that. So I remember my aunt giving me a gift on Christmas. And when I opened my gift, I was so disappointed. And I told her, I don't want this because I have this and I cannot accept this. I cannot bring it home. And there she was saying, okay, I'll give you a new one. So she came back, pulled something from her closet that I think she had an extra set of gifts. She gave it to me and I said, okay, I don't want this either because I have the same thing again. So just imagine, right? Like I think in today, in 2022, something like that is normal. It's funny, but it's not something that is surprising. But in the 90s, in the 80s,
I am literally picturing me having the balls to say that to some of my elders in my family and just thinking, oh my goodness. So I take my hat off to you, because I think I would have been that kid going, I can't say that.
But then see, that's the thing. That's been my life. That's been my story. And since young, I've been really, really honest. I think it's very hard for me to lie. And I think as I grew older, I just became more diplomatic. But if you ask me something like, do you like this? I cannot say yes if it's a no. And if you tell me, do you like, I remember even now when I go to restaurants and, you know, the chef comes out and say, do you like our food? And if I don't like it, I will really just say, you know what? I love the drinks, but I cannot say I like the food if I don't like it. So that's just been who I am my whole life. But then in an Asian context and in my family, in my specific family, our love language is business and money. So I think, you know, in hindsight, I always feel I am so glad that I was able to embrace my entrepreneurial self very young. So I was only 6 when I started making money, and then, you know, it grew from there. But that kind of like made things okay to some extent, like, you know, that made me felt valued to some extent. I had some voice because, you know, I think the conversations on the table normally is about business. So usually it's like, what do you buy? What are we selling? And, you know, what we think. So I think that gave some leg up for me.
Yeah.
So when you asked me earlier, what was that moment of transformation? For me, it wasn't about, you know, being different. It's more of realizing that not everybody is like me. Realizing that it's not easy for other people just to be themselves. Realizing that, you know, there's so many people out there that have such great ideas, such great passion, such great dreams and desires. And what's stifling them from getting to where they want to be is really the courage to own their difference and be different. They know they have a different idea. I'm sure you've met some people like that, Nikki, where they're just so passionate about the idea. But when it comes to implementation, they can't seem to implement it because there's some kind of fear in them, or there's some kind of block in them that restricts them from just going for it, from just really going all in. So for me, it was really, that was my transformation, realizing that there are people out there that does not operate like me. You know, that what comes so easy for me, monetizing, you know, just being resourceful. I'm the type of person, if I want something, I'll just get it. You know, there's no, there. If someone tells me, but you can't, I don't know why.
It's like red rag to a bull, isn't it? When someone says you can't, you're like, I can.
Yeah. But why didn't I'd be so stupefied with like, why not? You know, so I think that misfit, that part of me that's just so different my whole life, it's just there. And now when I was in my mid-20s, despite having really a big long wait list of people or businesses wanting to be wanting to be my client, I just felt something was off, something was missing. And then I thought, you know, I'm tired of just making money. I'm tired of, you know, there was really nothing to prove, right? At that point in my 20s, it was mostly been there, done that, everything that I wanted, I got. So there was really no more. Like I've had to battle discrimination, of course, ageism, gender, everything. But I'm on the other side. And there was really nothing for me that challenges me anymore. So that at that moment I realized there's something more in this life that I have to do. And then I vowed that I will dedicate the rest of my life to helping people like me, nonconformists, visionaries, out of box, misfits, really go from knowing they're different to owning they're different, being different, and differentiating themselves from the market so they can turn those differences into dollars.
I love that. And then when you decided to do that, did that just feel like that was your soul's path kind of thing? That was what you were here to do?
Yes, I think it's just kind of like, it's just bigger and bigger. But again, because the way I'm wired, it's just me. If I make a decision, that's me. You know, I might not know, I know where I'm going. I've always been that type of person. I know the end goal. I know my end goal. And I might stumble, like, you know, especially in the digital marketing age. So many things you need to kind of like explore first and go into that deep hole of making mistakes. Yeah. But nothing really deters me from doing what I'm doing now.
Can I take you back? Because I just want to, before we talk about kind of your current work, you mentioned something really interesting about like being in your early 20s and going into the consulting work you were doing. At what point on your journey did you decide to go into that work? Because obviously that's quite a young age to be doing the kind of work that you were doing. But I'm very aware that, you know, you are a go-getter kind of person, and there's bits that resonate with the kind of work that I was doing in my early 20s. At what point did you decide, when you kind of left school and were going out into the workplace, like, this is kind of what I want to do?
Yeah, so remember, I started working at six, so I had the business that I was in was mostly trade, so buy and sell, not trading, but export import. And then in the summers, when my audience, my market was really the school. So I would be in school, everybody buys from me, my classmates.
What were they buying? What kind of stuff were you getting in at that time? Because I love kids that are entrepreneurial. They fascinate me, really does.
Stationery pens, calculators. Then I'd be importing dried confectionery from Thailand and repacking them, selling it to everybody, selling it to the supermarket in town, selling it to my teacher. So there's really a lot of like sales going on and entrepreneurship. Then what happened then was we had I was working in the summers when schools are closed. I was working for one of my aunts who's in FMCJ. And that was when, you know, I started understanding the world of consulting, because she had consultants with her that specialize in retail. So that's what I did. I was selling, kind of like reselling, repackaging so many things, but not just supplying the school. I also supplied the local grocers. And again, before, compliance was different.
Love it.
It's not like now where you have to have, you know, a lot of things set up. But before, I could just go into a local grocer's and say, I want to supply you. This is where I source my products. Is that okay? And even if I don't have, you know, I don't have company, they would buy from me. So this was back then. It's a different climate then.
Yeah,
so that's been kind of like that. And I know earlier you were asking me about, you were fascinated about my entry to consultation, right?
Yeah.
So since I've been already in the sales, and most of my clients are during the school year, so in the summers, I'd work for, you know, some of my family relatives and their businesses. And one of the family friends that I worked with, she was a little bit ahead in Asia, especially, because she was already hiring consultants. And again, in the early 2000s, consultants was very, very, very new in Asia. And even I think in the rest of the world.
Yeah.
Like it's not like now where everybody has a consultant, everybody has a coach.
Everyone.
Yeah, exactly. So I kind of like realized, oh, there's such a thing. And so I was working for her. We did retail, we did FMCJ. And then I think whenever, you know, when the opportunity presented itself, then I just went for it. So the first consulting gig I did, I was actually in university. So I left home. I studied in Taiwan. I had a scholarship there. And I'm multilingual. So someone from Spain was looking to not really enter the Taiwanese market, but it was more of looking for ways to deal with the, remember there was an EU crisis in 2007, 2008?
Yeah.
With Greece.
The big recession,
The big recession. So he was saying, you know, I'm looking at what can I sell now in Europe that, you know, it's been really hard the past few years. He's a businessman. And he asked if I could support him or help him and see if we could kind of like collaborate together, or, you know, I can be a consultant for his business. So I did. We looked into different products, both like either sourcing from East Asia to Spain or the other way around. But that kind of like started it. So it's more of the opportunity presented itself. I went in and then that's where it came from. And then it just went from there.
It just evolved from that time. So actually, when you think
I think from the six-year-old me, not really just that time. It was more of, I came from a very traditional businesses when in that family, business was something that's tangible. So if, you know, it's not a business if you're selling a service, it's a business if you're selling a product. So then when I started realizing that, no, services are also business, you know, like, then I kind of like shift my thinking to see, oh, I didn't know that I can also sell my service. It's not just, I have to have a product to sell. So it's more of that shift and that, that opened up a new horizon for me.
Ah, it's amazing. And when we fast forward up to today, so you found your soul's passion now. So tell me a bit more about sort of on that journey, a little bit more about the work that you're doing now and how it's relevant to the people that are listening to the podcast.
So going back to what I shared earlier, for me, it wasn't really realizing that I'm different. It's more of realizing that other people are not like me. Does that make sense? I know it's so ironic.
Yeah, completely.
But then see, my whole life, it is about business. It's about market positioning. It's about market development. It's about penetrating markets, scaling businesses. So that for me, that time when I had a depression, I just said, you know what? I really believe that the world should have more different perspectives. Because when I left home, I thought, you know, that was the world. Then you go abroad, you see different people, you see different ways of living. I mean, you travel. So, you know, it expands your horizon so much. And I thought, just imagine if people and businesses and business ideas, if we have more different opinions about everything and everything is seen as okay. Meaning you're not being crucified for saying something different from the norm, or you're not being criticized for doing a business that's different from everybody else, then imagine the impact of our tolerance and how everybody can just expand in their way of looking at things, in the way they see things, in the way they see themselves in this world. So then I realized that, wow, I can sell services too. That's a business, you know. And I then realized, and later on as it evolves, at that time when I was so depressed, I realized, you know, I've always been good at what I'm good at. But then what? And I felt I'm tired of just doing business the old way. I want to really help people like me who've been misfits their whole lives, really monetize what makes them different, whether that's an idea, whether it's their way of belief, it's their thought process, it's their school of thought, it's their product. Because again, like I said in the beginning, there's so many great different ideas out there, but nothing, you know, nothing gets done because people have difficulty owning their difference. And I truly believe that if we could see different ways of doing things, and if we can see a different kind of like perspective, there is world peace. Friendships won't, you know, friendship won't go sour because we have different opinion. I think we kind of like are so ingrained into this has to be only this way. Being a woman just has to be this way. Being successful. And I feel like that very linear way of seeing things is actually creating the big divide we are all experiencing right now. So just imagine if people like you, I'm sure you're also different. So, and for me, like more of us really showing up and kind of like being seen as, oh, I didn't know that I can do that too. Because for me, as a Filipina, the one thing that I experience like doing all this, there's always that stigma that Filipinas are either domestic helpers, mail order brides, or factory workers. Mm-hmm. And I've been, you know, I've been placed in different situations where I've been stereotyped. I've been, you know, there's a lot of limitations about, you know, their image of what
very blinkered.
Exactly. Yeah. But then for me, just imagine if another person see me and said, oh, I didn't know a Filipina can be that too. So it adds to people's vision. So yeah. For me, that's always been my passion. It's, you know, why don't we just be okay with different opinions, and then we choose what we think is right for us? Yeah. Instead of criticizing, instead of trying to beat someone down just for sharing a different thought or a different voice.
Yeah. And so what I wanted to say was, so you started realizing about the power of selling your services, and there will be people that are listening to this who are very much from a service-based business industry, but who aren't, you know, embracing their differences. And how, you know, from your perspective, I'd really like, you know, how that manifests itself in people's ability to market themselves when they're not embracing their differences. And how can we make it easier? How can we make marketing easier for those people who perhaps see themselves in the misfit, slightly different, not embracing their differences? How can we make that an easier process for them to embrace marketing?
So not
and their differences.
Yes, but this advice I want to say to even people that don't classify themselves as a misfit, take it from someone who's been in business since she's six, okay?
Yeah.
To make marketing work for you, it's actually embracing what makes you different. And let me break that down. What that means is...
And this is what I love, because this is what I wholeheartedly agree with.
Yeah, let me break that down. If you see a strategy somewhere that work for someone else, but part of you really believes that's not the way you want to go, that is what makes you different. That's a different opinion from that, I don't know, guru, that book, whatever, that consultant that said that. And that is what we call, what that is what being embracing that difference means. It's it means embracing or owning or being okay with a different thought, a different opinion, a different perspective from the norm, from the trend. And it boils down to every part of your idea in your business. So an example would be if you are a product-based business and you sell candles, for example. Mm-hmm. And we all know, you know, candles, it's easy to sell. But then you decide, oh, you know what? I want to sell candles and package it, for example, using with its own bag. Like all candles now should come with its own bag. It's like the Hermes of candles. Then that is what you should really own. And because it's the Hermes of candles, you should say, you should kind of like be proud of what the features of that product, of being the Hermes of candles. If you do that, then it would be more common sense for you to not price your candle at an entry level. Because you don't see an Hermes bag for $10. You don't see an Hermes bag for $100, right? So if you can accept that this is really what I want, that is the first step to marketing easier. Because then it will now be easier for you to paint a better picture of who you're targeting. Because not everybody will easily afford the Hermes of the candles. So you already know who you're talking to. It's easier now to create the language that appeals to them. It's easier now to do the right branding that appeals to them. It's easier now to select the channels, the meaning the shops, the stores of where they visit. Because they might, you know, everybody is not your client. So when you are really owning that, what makes you different, why, you know, whether it's, oh, but the clientele that I want is a different class. Great. If you are okay with that, if you can own that, be that. Being that is easier. Marketing to that is easier. Monetizing that is easier. The same with service. If you want to say, if you are a health coach, for example, and you're saying, but you know, I'm not just a health coach because I also have my experience in so-and-so in yoga and so on, and then be okay with that. Don't, I think a lot of people, what I hear in this, in the industry is that, you know, they spend so much time defending their choices, justifying that, you know, I'm not this. But it's hard for them to take action because they just cannot be okay that they're not just a regular health coach, for example. That what they are maybe is a lifestyle coach. It's creating and helping their audience create that lifestyle that makes them, you know, that makes them have that life that is not just about health on a physical level, but on a mental, emotional, and spiritual level. So when you are able to really own that, then just imagine the power of being different, of the power of monetizing and marketing, because then you say, hey, I want to do business this way. And if I can commit to that, everything becomes faster and easier because the world has no other choice but to go with you. And then if you are kind of like, if you are at peace that, hey, the problem with most people is that they tend to have their foot in two boats. You know that time when you're selecting between two ice cream, vanilla and chocolate, and you only have space for one, but you cannot select. So part of it is like vanilla, but then you change to. I think a lot of people have that, even in the service industry. They know that they're not just a typical health coach, for example. But then because they're a little bit worried, but you know, that's what, if I call myself something else, nobody will buy from me. Or who will do that? Or who will listen to that? So just imagine if they can just be okay with just that statement of, you know, today I'm not a health coach. It's the same as today, this between these two ice cream, I cannot do chocolate. It frees up all that space and that energy. So if you allow yourself to say, okay, yes, I'm not a typical health coach, then your mind now helps you to define you better, to articulate exactly what you offer. And if you see yourself that, hey, I'm not a typical health coach. Oh, but you know what? What I actually do is helping my client create a different lifestyle. Then maybe the best term is call yourself a lifestyle coach that helps people on that level of not just the physical health, but their mental, emotional, spiritual health, and helping your clients are the ones that are looking for a more holistic approach to health versus the other clients that just want to go to the gym. Yeah. So just imagine that difference of when you're clear, you're not one and you're okay with it.
Well, I think also one of the things that I'm very aware of when people are worried about being a little bit different is actually, you know, if you do, particularly in the online space, if you do want to work in the online space, it's a noisy place to be. So
yes.
If you can embrace your differences, those are the things that will allow you to kind of stand out above the parapet from everybody else. If you go into that kind of if you want to try and fit in with everybody else, which isn't actually in your soul who you are, you actually are doing yourself an injustice because you kind of get lost in a sea of everyone else doing the same. And it's actually the embracing the differences that make you. Your hand sticks up higher. It's like, hey, I'm over here and I'm a bit different. And you get more seen.
And you don't want to be hired as a coach, as a consultant, as a graphic designer. You want to be at the top of people's mind. You don't want to be the person thinking, hey, I need a coach. It's more of, hey, I need Maria. Hey, I need Nikki. You want to create that narrative for the audience that you want to connect to. But you can only do that if you stand out. And the only way to stand out is to really embrace, accentuate, highlight, own, and be different and do things your way. Because imagine if you're walking down the street and all the houses are painted white and there's one house that's painted yellow, then that yellow house is what you recognize.
Exactly. That's a great analogy.
Right?
That's a great analogy.
So imagine. Exactly. So just imagine if you want your business to thrive, you need to really bank on what makes you different. Because I've been in business since the 90s, since I was six. And when I was six, one town only had one butcher, one grocer, one pharmacy. So people didn't have any option but just to go there. Today in 2022, the world is your audience. The same way that your audience thinks the world is my supply. So you cannot be just the same. You cannot just think, oh, because I have a business, I have a computer, I have a website, then business will come. We can't do business the way we did business in the 90s.
So Maria, what you were just saying about obviously wanting to embrace your differences and owning that within your business so that you are, you know, we were talking about that analogy of the house and standing out and having that house that's a different color. And I really, really love that analogy is when I've got our listeners here who are looking to embrace their differences, looking to market themselves, looking to see how they can do that easily. What kind of tips and things could you give them to be able to help them sort of today think, is there something I can take action on? Is there something I can do to really embrace how unique and how I can bring that into my business?
So the first thing that I want people to do is take out the pen and paper and really think about what comes really, really naturally for you, which means think of it this way. Why would people come to you? Why would your friends come to you? Why would your family come to you? An example would be, see, I have many friends, but nobody among my friends, my family will call me and say, Maria, what color of dress should I buy or wear? And I have a great fashion sense, but because that's not what I'm known for, or that's not what comes naturally for me, or that's not what people, you know, what people don't have. Like, it's when they come to me, it's usually, okay, Maria, I have a business. I'm thinking about this. Is this a good idea or not a good idea? Will this business work or not? So really just kind of like observe, what do people come to you for? Whether it's just a favor or help. Because if you think about you yourself, you don't just go to anybody when you ask for help, right? Even if it's something personal. And then really think about why they come to you. What specific tangible thing do they ask your help on? And why you? What are the words that people use to describe you? So in my case, the most common words that are used to describe me is confident, courageous, different. You know, you see different things. That's all. So for me, like, those words, really take them. You know how what comes easy to us, we often ignore. So we always don't think about it too much.
That's the stuff.
Exactly. That's where the good stuff is. So I really encourage everybody today to just step back, get a pen, paper, or even ask people, if you're stuck with a problem, what kind of problem would you come to me for?
Yeah.
And
I
really
like that
kind
question.
Of like write those answers down, like ask 3 to 5 people, write those answers down, find the thread, the tapestry that connects everything. Because again, it can be the actual solution that you're solving. It can be the essence that you bring to the table. For example, even though you cannot give me the right answer, but I would call you if I need help, because if I talk to you, I feel calm or confident because I don't feel judged, for example. So that would be safe space. I give a safe space to people. So really just write them down and see the tapestry. The second thing is really start learning how to articulate what you offer and quantifying the transform, especially if this is service. So I suggest you learn to quantify the result. So I'll give you an example. If you are, let's say, a life coach, okay? And, you know, in life coaching, the phases of change is quite broad. It's not like yesterday the person feels very insecure and today the person is like the most confident person in the world, right? The world. So I really suggest you quantifying results. For example, within that short span, the way she talked about herself started to change. So my client, from never saying what she thinks, started to express herself better. So those things, like, really quantify that. In business, for example, again, as you know, some ideas take time to really materialize, to really see maturity. So for me, like, when my clients come to me and they need assurance, I always say, okay, hold on. But when we started working together back then, you couldn't even you couldn't even look at your finances. And now look at you. You're here talking to me about expenses, about, you know, the income and what profit margins are. So now you actually know the numbers, or you actually know business numbers. When we started working, you didn't even have an idea of what doesn't work for you. Now you know. You're telling me I don't want to do this because this doesn't feel right for me. So your discernment now increased. So I really suggest people, especially in the service industry, to really track and record, like make those notes for yourself, so that it kind of like promotes a better relationship with your audience, with your clients, especially, and in helping them understand and see the transformation that they've already been going through, so that when you also share about your work, and when you have audience that ask those questions too, then you can share those examples. Like, my past client wins include, then you spell it out, because it cannot just be, oh, they made from 0 to 4,000K, right? For me, that's not enough. You know, there's so much layers to that. So learn to really quantify the progress that you give to your clients, or you've seen your clients
in a tangible way.
Exactly, in a tangible way. And then use that language then to be kind of like your copy bank or your marketing bank. And then use those phrases to describe the transformation you bring. Now, the third advice that I want to give everybody, when you are selling one particular offer, let's say, especially if it is not something as like business coaching VIP program, let's say this is a group program, a course, a group program, a book, for example, I really want you to start thinking of A and B. Where are they now and where they want to be? Where they will be after your program? Mm-hmm. And just go to your audience minds and think, right now they're thinking, I have so many ideas. I don't know where to start. I want to make money, but I don't know where to start. I want to have my own business, but I cannot leave my job. Like, really list those down. And then after the transformation, the possible future for them, list them down. Maybe, oh, from 5 ideas, I have now 2 ideas, and I can now think between 2 ideas. Or, you know, I actually have a plan now. I know when I will leave my job so I can focus on my business. Or, I can actually allot 2 hours a day for my side business now and then work it up later on. So really paint that transformation and really simplify it for yourself. And then create all your marketing copy from there, where they are now to where they want to be.
I love that. It's exactly the kind of stuff that I teach as well. So I absolutely love that. Maria, thank you so much for joining us today. But before you go, because obviously you've shared so much knowledge and your story is so inspiring. I mean, just the fact that you started at 6, I love stories like that. It's amazing. I want to do with you our little top 10 questions, quick fire round, before we actually wrap up today, if that's okay with you. So are you ready for these questions?
Yes.
Just for a bit of fun. So we're going to start with a really easy one. Can you tell me what your favorite book is?
Favorite book? Archie.
Yeah. Archie. Fantastic.
The Archie comics.
Oh, I love it. Love it. If you eat one meal for the rest of your life, what would it be?
Broccoli.
Broccoli.
Like broccoli vegetables. Yeah. I love it.
What do you want to be? Now, it's a bit of an odd question for you because we've learned a lot about what you wanted to, about your childhood. But the question is, what did you want to be when you grew up? Like, when you were little, teacher. Did you have a teacher? I was going to say, what were your aspirations?
Teacher and a nurse. Ah, okay. I never wanted to be but it's between teacher and a nurse, which actually I do now, right? In coaching. Oh, you're like a nurse. Yeah. You like take care and you teach.
Exactly. If you could have dinner with one person, dead or alive, who would it be?
Dead or alive?
Like, they could be a historical person or just someone.
You know, no particular lady in mind, but the first kind of like either the first queen of a country, the first empress of a country.
Yeah.
Something like the first.
Yeah, fantastic. Did you have a nickname when you were little?
Yeah, Lynn. L-Y-N.
Lynn.
My middle name is Kathleen.
Okay. Now, on your wall when you were younger, what did you have on your wall? Did you have any posters of animals or pop stars or what kind of things? Your wall, that was a poster-free wall. Name one thing on your bucket list that you haven't yet achieved.
Buying an airplane.
Oh, I like it. Like it. Is there a country that you haven't yet visited that you would like to?
Actually, a lot. I don't like traveling, and that's why I want the plane, because I don't like to. The one thing that I hate is to be on other people's timeline.
So
I can be delayed, I can be rushed, but it's as long as it's on my timeline, it's fine. And what I hate about airplanes, like the commercial planes, it doesn't matter if I'm in coach or in first class. If they are delayed, I'm delayed. You know,
someone else is controlling that timeline.
Exactly. And the airlines come and tell me, "Oh, I'm so sorry. We were so sorry to delay your flight. Here's some crackers and juice." What would I do with the crackers and juice? So for me, I really dislike traveling because I've met a lot of people. Whenever I travel, I make the most out of it. But I really haven't traveled that much because I really hate traveling, especially if it's not my own plane. So there's really a lot of places on that list.
Oh, brilliant. And you mentioned Portugal could be on them.
Yeah, exactly. Which is cool. Portugal, which is Peru. Cool. Yeah.
If you could pick a superpower, what would it be?
Superpower. Actually, I'm fine. Like, there's nothing that I know it's weird, but I'm happy with who I am.
Well, I'm going to add one in that I think from what you've just said could be appropriate for you. That if you could fly, like, you wouldn't need the plane, would you? Because
you could
fly on your own timeline then, couldn't you? You know, that would be one that you could embrace. Is just flying.
I know. Yes. Flying. Not even flying. You know that I don't want
teleportation.
To fly.
Then,
yes, teleportation. Because then, you know, what about my luggage? And I tend to have my own thing. So, but teleportation, I just think I'm all made up. There's no hangover, nothing.
There's no hangover. That's the one. That's the one I would like.
Yes.
And lastly, have you got a favorite movie or anything like that? Like a top three or a top movie, one that you really, really like when you want to just go and watch a movie? You're like, I want to watch that one.
You know, the one thing that really just is in the back of my head, is Legally Blonde.
Yeah. I love that movie.
Yes, because I just feel like, you know, it's the same, right? Like, people have a perception of what a lawyer should say. And then there's this lady just thinks, oh, I want to be a lawyer. So, of course, I can make it happen, right?
Yeah.
And she was so clear on her end goal.
Yeah, I love that. Maria, thank you so much for joining us today on the Chrysalis Conversation, sharing your story, which is amazing, sharing all your knowledge. I know that the people listening to this will have taken so many golden nuggets. So please, those three top tips were really, really incredible. Get your pen and paper, start writing it down, all of that stuff about yourself, get your A and B columns, just get doing all of that stuff and starting to see how you can make some changes in your business too. Maria, if people want to connect with you away from here, what's the best way they can find you?
Of course, through my website. It's www.maria-10.com. But the most active place I am in on social media is Instagram. So you can find me at Maria_K_10.
Okay, fantastic. And I will also put those on the show notes too. So guys, wherever you are in the world, I hope you've enjoyed today's episode. Have a lovely rest of your day and we will catch up with you on the next episode. Thanks for your time today, Maria. Really appreciate it.